Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. And we welcome any visitors in Jesus' precious name. Psalmist writes, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Just a reminder that on Wednesday we have our annual stated meeting at 7 o'clock here in the hall. Just a time to come and to share together and for me to be able to get to meet some of you more informally and to share together that time and also give a wee hint of maybe what I'm thinking the future might be looking like and to get something back from you as well. And the session meeting is the following Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So that'll be the, thank you, 21st of June. Timing's everything. We come together to worship our God. Majesty, worship His majesty. And we sing that through twice. Through Christ we have access to the Father in the one Spirit. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty and eternal God, through your word and your Spirit you created all things. In Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, you reveal your salvation in all the world. Through your Holy Spirit, you give us a share in your life and love. Keep us firm in this faith and fill us with a vision of your glory, that we may serve and praise you all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. So today is known as Trinity Sunday. Today we were, again, as another look at the Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit's place in the Trinity and what the Trinity is. And it just dawned on me that I changed this during the week from Jesus wipes away our sins to Trinity Sunday. So I'm actually looking for 4 volunteers. I thought I might have got 4 smaller children of God's kingdom, but I'm obviously going to need at least 3 of God's older children. So I maybe get the weirdest one here just now, can I? Thank you. This is easy. Absolutely easy. Don't have to worry about this at all. You can stand up here, right? Now I need 3 other volunteers. Don't all rush at once. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is stand. If you stand up the back here. Another 2. This is getting exciting. There we go. And you 2 gentlemen stand at the front here. Either side, so just face it that way. There we go. So we have the example of the Trinity. So there, that's it. No. What we got in the middle? God the being. Right? You are the one God. Okay? And you are God the Father. And you're Jesus the Son, God the Son, and you're God the Holy Spirit. You all come from God, the one being. So you imagine lines from each one into the middle. Should have got string, it would have made it easier. But you imagine lines. So all are of the one being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But actually, they're different. So the Father is not the same as the Son is not the same as the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the same as the Father. So the 3 persons, all different, but they're in the same being. They're part of God, the one being. And this is the point where we need to forget our earthly ways, because this is supernatural. This is away from what we understand. This is the mystery of God, where we then have to make this leap to bring this into bit. But God the being, God the one being, the one God, in 3 persons, all emanating within and part of and are the one being, but the 3 persons not the same. And again, say, mystery is the bit that takes us through that, our faith. It's one of the best ways I've come across of trying to describe the Trinity, because it's not easy to describe the Trinity. But I would hope that that allows us to start to think through some more of the issues about who the Trinity is, or what the Trinity is, and who the people of the Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are. Thank you very much for your help. Be blessed and anointed, all of you. Let's take a moment in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your uniqueness, for you are the one God. And yet you share with us a mystery of 3 persons. So thank you, Lord, that you are our Father. And quite simply this morning, at this time, we come before you and pray the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. from evil. Kingdom, power and the glory forever. Amen. And let's worship again. One more step along the world I go. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Heavenly Father, you are our help. You are our refuge and our shelter. Lord, that in all things that we can come to you, in all things that we can find refuge and shelter with you, and in all things we can call out to you and find you to be our helper. Father, you're the one who watches us and protects us. You're the one who won't let our feet slip. And we know, Lord, that as you watch over us, you do not sleep, you do not slumber. Father, as you travel with us, as you journey with us, and as we journey with you, we find you to be our shade, our right hand. The shade which means that the sun does not harm us, and neither does the moon. You are our God, our maker, our creator. And when you created us, you saw that we were very good. And Father, as you created us, you did so in love and through love and by love. And so now we have a God who watches over us, who neither slumbers nor sleeps, but watches over our lives. He watches us as we come and we go. And you watch us eternally. And Father, as we think of you as this shelter and refuge, as this keeper and the one who watches over us, we can but stand in awe of the care and the compassion you have, the love that you have for each one of us, that we might get to know your love, your grace, your mercy. And Father, as we worship you this morning, openly and freely, we take this time now to confess to you the things which are not of you, things that we've maybe said or done or thought, or things that we should have done, should have said, should have thought. Things that have diverted us from your path, your way. And so, Lord, we confess to you these things, knowing that through Jesus Christ, your Son, through his death, our forgiveness has been bought. And so we bow before you, forgiven people, seeking your Holy Spirit this morning to enable us to accept that forgiveness, to accept your love and your grace and your mercy, so that we could turn to you, follow you all the days of our lives. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Heavenly Father, hear this prayer offered in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. There is a Redeemer. we approach our reading from Acts, Peter now comes to the conclusion of his speech to the Jerusalem crowd, in which he interprets the events they have just witnessed, the coming of the Holy Spirit. He has also accused them of responsibility for Jesus' death.
The reading this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 41. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Amen, and may God bless his reading of his word.
Thank you. As we approach our prayers for others, again, the things of joy that we can worship here and that we can know God's enduring faithfulness and take joy and take heart in that, that he loves us, each one of us. And also that faithfulness has was there in the past, is there now, and will be in the future. From the Crossreach Prayer Diary for Social Care Council, today's prayer from the diary is for Allerton in Glasgow. It's a residential mental health service for 14 adults with long-term acute mental health problems. So it's something that we pray for, we remember the staff and the service users there. Our own presbytery, we turn to that, and what I'm beginning to do now is just to pick one or two bits and pieces from the presbytery yearbook for people to pray for, or for people, for things, congregations. So this morning we pray for Presbytery Clerk Jean Hunter, and also for Kirkgate Parish Church, the Reverend Dorothy Granger. Things of joy, things that we can celebrate and give thanks for and remember in our prayers. Things of concern: the terrorist threat level, that position of readiness that we need to be in, and all the discussions about how we're going to respond to threats of terrorism, and indeed what policies and what things have improved or made it worse. We pray and we remember about all the conflict that's in the world, and also about the church, our church, the Christian church, God's church, which is persecuted. I mentioned last week, I think it was, that the 29 had been Coptic Christians had been shot. Well, it turns out that some of them had been taken from one of the buses and on threat of death told to confess not their own God but Islam. And they continued to confess Jesus Christ as their Saviour, and as a result of that were shot. That's not anything else other than to say that our church, Christ's church, God's church, is persecuted. and that people will use whatever it is they want to use against the Christian church. So we remember those who have been persecuted, because it's not just in that one act. There are many acts across the world where we see the church being persecuted. Something that came up this morning was that the food emergency food aid for Ethiopia runs out next month. That would be fine if the need for the emergency food aid ran out next month as well, but of course it doesn't. So we bring that to God in our prayers. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we do give you thanks that we can worship together, that we can be together, we can be your people in this place. Give you thanks that we can come to joyfully worship you without fear of persecution. And so as we give thanks for that, we remember those who are persecuted because they would confess your Son as Saviour. Father, we thank you that we have food, access to food. And as we pray for those who struggle to find enough food for the day, struggle to find any food for the day. And Father, we pray too for peace in this world. Also often we see the stories of conflict. See the stories of people's lives being destroyed by violence. We see the stories of people's families being destroyed. And we would pray, Lord, for peace in this world. We pray for peace, for shalom, for a time when it's not just about stopping fighting, but a time when Jesus is confessed to be Lord and his peace is known throughout the world. Father, we pray for your church throughout the world. And pray that wherever your church sits, their love, grace, and mercy flow in abundance. That people would know by turning to you, turning to that place, they would get a touch of you. They would find healing. We pray for your church in Scotland, your church here in this Presbytery of Ardrossan, and your church here in this parish of Livingston, part of the town. Lord, may we be your messengers. May we be those who bring to others your love, your grace, and your mercy. May your word be known through not just our words but our actions. And Father, we pray for each one here, those on our left, on our right, those who are seated behind us or in front of us, those who are above us, seated below us, those in a different part of this building. I remember too those who aren't here for whatever reason. May you, Lord, by your Spirit, touch each one at the point of their need. And so, Father, in a moment of silence, we pray the prayers of our hearts and minds, the prayers inspired by your Spirit. Lord of all the living, remember all whom we remember and forget none whom we forget. Hear this prayer offered in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And we sing together again, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. Let's worship him. Let's pray. Father, you alone are our strength, our shield, and we give ourselves to you. So, Father, as we worship you today, may your Spirit present with us now fill us and open us to your ways. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. As we begin to look at this time and the words of Peter and what was actually happening that day of Pentecost, then it gives for me a few questions. And one of these questions are, what was your moment? When was your moment when you realized that you loved Jesus and you wanted to follow him? In some churches, this is the moment when the pastor would grab the wireless microphone and start to wander around the congregation, seeking people's thoughts and comments and testimony. But you'll be pleased to know that's not this morning. A rhetorical question this morning, but one that's designed just to ask you to think back to that moment. And I'll share my moment. Some of us can give a specific time, date and place of when conversion happened, when change happened. I can. It was the first Sunday of June in 93. It was at Douglas Wood Pack Holiday Centre, the Largs Centre, in that campsite, which is just outside Dundee. It was around about 11 o'clock. It was the time of the Cub Zone. A time when we bring the Cubs to think about their promise, their duty to God and their duty to Queen. And because they're at camp, they give a bit more time to think about that. And as someone who kind of believed that there must have been something who created all this world around us, I was a bit confused about what I could say or what I could do to help them think about their promise to God. And then I thought maybe somebody else would do it. But then I was the Akela, I took it on myself. I took photographs of landscapes, of animals, got photographs of people, and put them together on slides. The days before PowerPoint, where you had the slide projector. I then used some Arcadian guitar music to run at the back, and I was looking for some words to say over this, just as a wee reflection. And the words, it was actually Maureen that suggested them, as I'd said, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do this. What do you think? And she said, well, why not use a hymn for that? I said, fine, but what one? And she said, God who made the earth, the sea, the sky. And so by just moving the slides around a little bit, I got it into sync. And that's what we did that Sunday morning. And afterwards, I felt, as it finished, I felt this presence in the top of my head going right down through me to my fingertips, to the ends of my toes, and holding me for a time. And then this leaving again. The same way it came in, it left, just going back up and out. I felt held for a time. And I turned to Maureen and said, so how long was that then? And she said, but you've practiced that. You know exactly how long that took. I said, no, the time from the end to the time I told the Cubs and the leaders to go and do whatever it was. She said, there was no time at all. I said, there was. There was a time gap. I was held for a time. I have no idea how long that time was, but it was not a time on this earth. It was a God time and a God moment. That was the moment I realized that from thinking there may be a God or someone who something that created all this, to there was God. Not that I knew anything more about that. I didn't have the words or the experience or the knowledge to say anything more about that, other than the fact that God had done something here, been a change, and I needed to respond to that. So some of us do have a specific moment. For some it's a growing realization that there's a change coming on, that God is causing a change, and they feel something within. And for others, it's I being. For some people, they come to church because they've been brought to Sunday school, they come through Sunday school, they become a communicant member when they can, and they've always been there, and they always have this belief in God. It's I being. But for everyone somewhere, there's something that clicks. This morning we're looking at Peter being a preacher, standing up and sharing. And just to take a wee bit of a moment to read a wee bit earlier from where Dorothy was. But then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God had raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Amen. And then goes on to that section, these verses that Dorothy read for us. But here is Peter amongst the 12, and he stands up. Stands up and speaks. Full of the Holy Spirit. He stands up and he speaks. And he starts by saying, fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem. So for a start, fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, not all are Jewish. We're living in Jerusalem. This is the message opening out, moving from the Israelites to the Gentiles. This is this message beginning to open up. And he gives this prophecy of Joel and says that's been fulfilled now in Jesus. And for us, now that that's been fulfilled, it has been fulfilled, will not be fulfilled again because it has been. And that's the important bit to note, that that prophecy was there and has been fulfilled and is there for us. Peter speaks about the man Jesus, the man accredited by God to you by miracles, signs and wonders, which you all saw. So he's starting to say about Jesus, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the man. But he was a man as well as the Messiah, as well of God. And in these words of Peter, he started to tell and remind the Israelites, the folk that were there that had seen the Spirit descend in that room, he started to tell them what happened to Jesus and point the finger. It was you. He was betrayed. He was handed over by God's plan. God with this in his hands. This was what's going to happen. But you nailed him to the cross. It was you. And other wicked men, you nailed them to the cross. But God raised them from the dead because it was impossible for death to keep his hold on him. And then he speaks about Jesus being exalted, having risen again, he's then exalted, ascended to the right hand of God. Something that David could not do. David did not ascend, but Jesus, a descendant of his generation, ascended to be at the right hand of God. So here is what's happened, folks. You have done this. This has all been meant. It's all happened. And when the people hear the message, they're cut to the heart. A cut to the heart. What are we going to do? What will we do? One of the interesting things about being cut to the heart in Hebrew, in the Old Testament Hebrew, when God makes a covenant with his people, he cuts the covenant with them. That's the expression that's used. The covenant is cut. These people are cut to their heart. What shall we do? And Peter says, repent, be baptized. Repent, believe, be baptized. You know, when we repent, it's not just about saying sorry for something that's happened, but when we repent, it's about turning full scale away. So imagine if we're in that sinful life and we're facing the sinful world. That's what we're doing. Our back is to God. And if we repent, we turn fully. So our back is on the world. And we're facing God fully. That repentance is a complete turning. It's not just turning away from our sin, but it's turning fully to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Be baptized. Jesus told Nicodemus that we're baptized in water and we need to be baptized in spirit to be born again, to be reborn. And here's the promise that God has for each. As Peter says, repent and be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For those who turn to God, for those who heard that message, and we're told this 3,000 did that, were baptized, received the Holy Spirit, I mean, turned to God, they became part of the number. But they received the Holy Spirit. They would be transformed through that gift of the Holy Spirit. That's not to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we will do at another time. But this is about receiving the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We cannot earn it. We cannot do anything to get it. We receive the Holy Spirit when we turn to God, when we repent, believe, and turn to God. But you know, Peter wasn't finished just at that point, because he's spoken these words. Yes, they've turned, but the words that he spoke aren't just the words that we've got in Scripture. With many words, he warned and pleaded. You just imagine as that carries on. With many words, he warned and pleaded. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Dawns on me, when do we take the time to warn and to plead, sharing God's message with his people to enable people to be saved from this corrupt generation? It's what Peter was doing, warning and pleading so that those could be saved. There is stuff in there for us. There has to be, otherwise we're wasting our time. There's stuff in there for us to be able to follow God, to follow Jesus, to be able to remember of the forgiveness of sins which is there for us, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit which is there for us. And then as we go on, we receive the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit and the transformation that God brings into our lives. These are the things that we hold. And you know, we can either sit with our hands wide open, waiting to receive the gift of God, or we can tighten ourselves up and allow that gift to fall. It's our choice. The 3,000 made a choice. They heard the message and made a choice and turned. It's the same message that's available for everybody today and will be available for everybody in the future. But you know, some people don't hear it, because it's never preached. Some people don't hear it because it's never spoken to them, because we do not share what we have. Some people, it has to be said, just don't want to hear. But for us, the joy of knowing the Holy Spirit in our lives and the gift of fulfillment of abundant life through the Spirit, given through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we continue with our offering. Let's pray. Father, we present to you these as our offerings, a token of all that you give to us, a token back to you. And Father, as we present this to you, we present ourselves to you once again, that through this offering and through our very selves, we would see your kingdom building in this place, in this town. Hear this prayer offered in Jesus' name. Amen. And we worship again when we walk with the Lord and trust and obey. Go now to love and to serve the Lord your God. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you, now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore.